Hello and welcome to the Camping Crew Podcast with Chris and Aaron.
Hi everybody, welcome to episode 191 of the Camping Crew Podcast. I'm Aaron Birchall.
And I'm Chris Byrne.
It's meant to be a fun podcast. We're just enthusiasts on what we discuss on the podcast and just our own personal views. Although we do look into things that you ask us to look into.
If you'd like to support the podcast, and if you can afford to, you can buy us a coffee at ko-fi.com/thecampingcrew.
Right, let's kick off this episode with some news, and it's good news. If you are a YouTube follower of Pamela and Johnny's Motorhome Journeys, Pamela has set up a second YouTube channel simply called Pam's Motorhome News. So if you want to find out what's going on every couple of weeks, check it out on YouTube, Pam's Motorhome News, and we wish her the best of luck with that.
Yeah, the very best of that. And on Facebook, then I was checking out some of the posts that have been up there over the last couple of weeks. And a few days back, Martin Lane put up a post in Irish Motorhome Group saying that the Firgrove Hotel in Mitchelstown has applied for planning for 16 pitches on their grounds there. So that's really a good opportunity. More space is available in the Mitchelstown area as well.
That's brilliant, because for Moy, haven't done anything since Charlie and me were there a couple of years ago. And it's great to see that hotels, if they have the space, will do something like that. And 16 pitches will be a great add for Mitchelstown and County Cork.
Yeah, I think the West Lodge down in Bantry really kind of set the scene there. Like, they have a lot of space at the bottom part of their grounds there. And, you know, to give people access to the hotel, restaurant, and the swimming pool and stuff. So really kind of setting the scene there. So it's great to see more hotels realising the potential there, you know.
Yeah, if you've got a big car park, you might as well make a few bob, and we will keep you updated with that information as we see it online. Speaking of online chatter, I was only speaking to Jim Hunter from Doonbeg Caravan and Camping. You would have seen online that they were going to open the facilities as an air. Now, they have a full campsite in Doonbeg, but as in from December 22nd, until Sunday the 7th of January, they are providing an air-type facility, which basically means that there's fresh water, grey water drainage, toilet cassette emptying point, rubbish and recycling, Wi-Fi and wash-up facilities, all for €15 per night for a camping unit, irrespective of the amount of people that are in it, whether you have 2, 3 or 4 occupants. Electric hookup there is metered, so it's €15, and then if you plug in, you pay for your electric. You can log on to Strand Camping Doonbeg, which the website will tell you what availability is there. But he also said that you can give him a buzz. So go on to Strand Camping Doonbeg and you get all the details. Now, if it works out between the 22nd of December and the 7th of January, they may let it run right up until the opening time of the campsite in March of 2024.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Like, if he's got a campsite there, but he doesn't have the full availability of himself or staff, you know, the ground he has there, it's set up really well, so he might as well make a few bob, at least kind of cover off some of his costs, you know.
And there are so many people who will go camping over the silly season and during the winter months, and it's great to have another place, even just with air-type facilities.
Yeah, and look, Doonbeg is a fantastic location. All that clear coastline is amazing, so well worth checking out.
Now, Shane was on to you over the past couple of weeks via email.
Yeah, you might remember, Aaron, we met Shane at our Kilkenny meetup. He was with us there on the first night. So he sent us in a lovely email and with a couple of, well, he actually sent 4 product recommendations. So we're going to go do 2 on this podcast and 2 on the next. But I read out his email. It's very well written. He said, "Hi, Aaron and Chris. It was great to briefly meet you both and a number of your listeners at the meetup in Treegrove last September. I was disappointed that I couldn't hang around for the bigger gathering on Saturday, but hopefully there will be another event in the not-too-distant future. Your podcast was recommended to me earlier this year by a work colleague after he bought a motorhome, and I really enjoyed starting from episode 2 and working my way through each episode in order. Now that we are thankfully on this side of the pandemic, it was particularly interesting listening to your episodes from the end of 2019, where you and your other listeners talked about your big plans for 2020. How wrong we all were. Having recently caught up to the most recent podcast, I just thought I'd contact you about my own campervan experiences. I remember meeting a guy when I was in college in Galway in the mid-noughties who saved a fortune on rent by living in his very rough and ready 1997 Mercedes Sprinter campervan. and spent his weekends wandering around the remote areas of the country. His camper had an old school domestic four-ring gas hob and oven, similar to the one you'd see in your granny's kitchen. The sofas were made of pallets and cushions, and the bed was a hammock that stretched from front to back. I was blown away by the freedom that this approach to college life provided him with, and I was instantly hooked on the idea of a campervan. One of my favourite TV shows is George Clark's Amazing Spaces, where I'm always amazed by people's creativity and how they can turn compact or wasted areas into functioning, life-changing spaces or repurpose old, unused items. I'm really interested in creative spaces and the items that have multiple functions. So I decided that a smaller campervan was for me. I bought my first short wheelbase VW T4 campervan in 2012, which my dad still drives, followed then by a long wheelbase VW T5 in 2014. After a lot of trial and error and expanding my family, I decided to have a camper built to my own specifications to suit my new needs. In May 2022, I had a 9-seater short wheelbase T5 converted by Martin O'Reilly at Custom Camper Conversions, where he added a 3-seater rib bed to the back and a pop-top roof. As a family of 5 with 3 young kids, we've now had 2 fantastic summers in the camper so far, having been to music festivals, various Irish campsites, spent many nights wild camping, and we're now considering a long trip abroad next summer. I have a tendency to blow money on anything camping related, like us all, that's new and shiny, or something massive and expensive that solves the tiniest inconvenience. With that in mind, I thought I'd share with you and your listeners, with smaller campers, a number of items that I picked up to maximise our comfort levels while camping. So the first link he gives us there is to a rainbow screen pop-top thermal wrap.
Yeah, the rainbow screens are very, very popular with people who have pop-tops, be they VWs, be they the T2, the T3s, T4, 5s and 6s. He goes on to say, our first long weekend away was at Kaleidoscope in 2022. We endured what I can only describe as biblical rain at nighttime. I guess that 2 of my kids were leaning against the canvas in the pop-top where they were asleep because the pajamas and bedding were damp in the morning. I quickly bought a rainbow screen to solve this problem. This is a thermal wrap which wraps around the outside of the canvas of the pop-top. This was an absolute game changer. Its main function is to insulate the bed area of the pop-top, but it's also waterproof and, as 2 unexpected bonuses, it acts as a blackout blind and significantly reduces the sound from outside. The colours and designs can also be customised to the buyer's specifications, and they are suitable for any type of pop-top roof, not just VWs. Its only downside is that it's pretty bulky and cumbersome when packed into a van where space is a premium. Now, he gave us a link at rainbowscreens.co.uk. I know Malcolm and Rona have one for their T2, and they absolutely love it. I didn't realise that in such a new van that canvas still had the old tent thing that if you lean against it, you're going to get wet. I thought that day was gone.
Yeah, I think that's more to do with the heat inside and the cold outside causes the condensation of people to stick to the side. So it's not that they're letting water through. It's more the condensation, whereas yeah, if you have the screen covers around, it gives you an extra layer between them. I think people will know these rainbow screen covers. They're the ones you see at a campsite with the big eyes on the front of them that go over the windscreen, or different logos. So they're very bright colours. They're nearly always dressed up with some sort of emoji kind of face on them. So really, really good. He gave us a second recommendation as well, Aaron. It's a window bag. And I thought this was a genius idea. So he said, given that my camper is a short wheelbase T5 with a 3-seater rib bed, I've sacrificed a lot of storage space when compared to the more popular long wheelbase with a 2-seater in the back. One great solution for storing clothing is a window bag from 50 degrees Nord. The particular bag that I bought is made for a VW California or multivan and is the same size as the rear side windows. The bag is designed to fit perfectly into the window recesses and turns what would normally be unused space into much needed storage space. The bag attaches to a hard backing using Velcro, which sits flush against the window and can be easily taken off to be brought into the house to pack or into a driveway awning when on site. So he gave us a link to those, and the webpage is, I'll spell it out, it's 50gradnord.com, and the product is just called a window bag, and it comes for a VW T5, T6, T6.1, this particular model. They're not cheap, but like if you have a VW, you're already after spending a lot of money. So this, I think, at €182, fills in those gaps, so it acts as an insulation, but fantastic storage idea that it sits flush into the window setting, you know.
Yeah, you see, storage is a premium in any of the Volkswagens or any small vans, even right down to Mercedes Sprinters. So if you can get something like that, it's worth the money. It's worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, yeah. So you just closed out the email with a couple of questions, really, and it's definitely one worth following up on. It says, I hope that some of the items will benefit some of your listeners with smaller campers. Remember, we have two more to come next week from Shane, our next month, should I say, from Shane. I'd also like to ask you and your listeners who have built custom aftermarket campers what your thoughts are on diesel heaters, particularly the Chinese models, and what model would they recommend? I'd like to add a diesel heater to expand the wild camping season, but I'm a bit hesitant to buy and fit one. He said, finally, has anyone got any updates on Fantastical 2024 and whether or not it's going ahead? We've been to many musical festivals in Ireland, big and small, and it's without doubt our favourite. So he finishes saying, love the podcast, guys. Looking forward to what you and your listeners have to talk about in 2024. So that's an interesting one. Before we get to the diesel heaters, I'm gathering that there hasn't been an announcement from Fantastical 2024. If it's going to go ahead in June, it's probably too late for that. Maybe they'll do an end of summer one. It kind of would give them time. But my gut feeling, and without any knowledge whatsoever, is that it's unlikely to happen this year.
I'd say so at this stage, because normally we'd be buying our tickets by now. What I will do is, for the next podcast, which will be February of 2024, I'll stick Louise from Fantastival an email during the festive season and see if we get a reply and see if we can get a definite answer to that. But it is one of the better festivals. I really, even if they do a small one at the end of the year, I'd love it.
Okay, great. And he mentioned about the diesel heaters. Do you have a diesel heater in your
I bought a diesel heater to fit into the B-Ball because the diesel heater in it was finicky and I didn't use it. And only last week I've been measuring up the VW to fit the diesel heater. Now, I've an awful lot less space than Shane has in his VW, but I wasn't going to do a video on it. And then I think Jason from Limerick Air said to me, Aaron, do a video. So I'm looking at possibly next week. We've a lot of stuff, obviously, like most people, going on between now and Christmas, but definitely between now and January, I'm going to fit the diesel heater. Now, mine isn't a Chinese diesel heater. I bought it from a company in Dublin. And if you just Google Shane or anybody interested, just Google camper diesel heaters Dublin, the company will come up. I got it overnight. I can't even remember. I mean, it's 2 years sitting in the shed, but I have it sitting in the T3 at the moment just to be fitted, and I can't wait to fit it.
So is this something then that will get fitted into the van, a permanent fixture, or is it something you take out and bring in as you need it?
It's something that you fit in because you need to drill an exhaust hole and you need to drill an air intake hole. Yes. Now mine comes with a 4-litre tank of diesel, little canister built into it. I think, and I stand corrected on this, that Lisa and Oliver from our fantastic family bought one similar and stripped it to fit into the space that they had. I'm lucky that I have a wardrobe that this will sit straight into. But no, you have to drill a hole for a vent, a hole for an exhaust, and then you bolt it down with 4 screws. So I'll do a video on it, but it's not a Chinese diesel heater. A lot of people have bought them and have had success with them. I'm not knocking them, but mine is from a company in Dublin.
You need a bit of power then, don't you, to kick it off or to start to, for tip over as well. So do you need like an inverter or something?
No, it'll run on, these all run on 12 volt, and you get a little dongle that you can actually switch it on with a remote control, but it kicks off. You see, I've no way, I'm still working on the power on the T3, whereas I've no way of charging unless I'm plugged in. And then if I'm plugged in, I'm not going to use my diesel heater, I'm going to use my electric heater. So it's a heavy drain initially, and then once it gets to heat, it just ticks over.
Okay.
But no, they're 12 volt. I'll do a video on it, and if I can find the details. But I know mine is not a Chinese one. It's from a company in Dublin.
Yeah, and if any of the listeners has any experience with a Chinese one and want to send on a recommendation to Shane, you can email us. We'll give you the email address at the end of the podcast. We'll pass that on to Shane and possibly even mention it on one of the future podcasts as well.
And again, next year, we'll feature the rest of Shane's email. He's two other products that he wants to tell us about. Now, Charlie and me, we have a video this Friday, the final video of 2023. Really? Last Wednesday, we had the final video of season six. Last Friday, which was the official outing of the T3. So this week, it's only a 5-minute video. We're just looking back at the campsites that we reviewed during season six, 2023. So that's this Friday, 9 a.m. It's only a 5-minute video. So youtube.com/Charlie and Mia Camping Vlog this Friday at 9 a.m. And we'll be there to chat to you.
Brilliant. Yeah, looking forward to that. And you had a video out a couple of weeks back as well, which kind of leads us to our next section. Andy, Charlie, and me, for once, Aaron is telling us about a little gadget.
Yeah. This is something that a company called Foxtian, they make power banks, and you have one. I mentioned yours in the video because you're running your office on a power bank, but it's a different make. They sent me a Foxtian iGo 300, which is the smallest unit to do. It's just a 300 watt power bank. Now, everybody knows what a power bank is. Again, I mentioned our fantastic family. They got one that's 1200 watts that runs their oven, the whole lot, but they do a lot of wild camping. I know Shane and Anna have a 600 and a 900 watt, so they do a lot of these little things. Now I have the 300, and if you haven't seen the video, go back to our info videos on Wednesdays, and I literally only put it up 2 weeks ago, but this ran my office because we were getting a new ESB meter fitted into the house, and while I had to print 30 mugs, so while the power was off, this ran my computer system, my printer system, the whole lot. It was absolutely brilliant. And then you'll see on the video again, if you go back to YouTube and check it out, it ran the camper van for 3 hours. Now, the heaviest thing I have in the camper van is my fridge. And I mean, it's a guzzler on power. But this is the Foxtian iGo 300. We'll tweet a link, or we can put out a link later on about it. You'll get it. I suggest you buy it from Amazon.de. Or go direct to foxtian.com. But the one that I have is the 300 watt, but they do a massive load of different sizes, right up to running industrial estates. But obviously, you won't need something that big. So it's Foxtian, Foxtheon.com. And mine is the iGo 300. And I highly recommend it if you just want it for your social media stuff, your cameras, your phones, and not to actually run an oven or a hairdryer or anything like that, but it will get you out of a hole or run your home office if you're stuck.
Yeah, it looks neat, and it's a small,
it's tiny
space. It's like a size of a toiletries bag or something.
Yeah, it is tiny and it's lightweight, and it just comes with, now it has the two European, the two pin sockets, but sure, we all have adapters that make it three pin. I was very impressed. And again, if you look back at the video, I open it for real in front of everybody. I couldn't get over the size and how there's a bit of weight in it, but it's light at the same time. And I have it tucked in under the seat of the VW. Now, I did notice when I got it, I charged it and then I left it for 2 weeks and it went down to 70%, you know, just sitting there. And then I charged it before I went camping. So like if I go to use it again now, I'd say I'd be better off taking it out of the van, plugging it in, charging it. But at least if I'm stuck, I have a 70% charge on it.
Yeah, I use my one. I've got a Blue Yeti one. I use that to run on the sunnier days, my home office when I'm working from home. And I charge it up. I'm on a mission to never have to plug it in to charge up. So I charge it up with solar.
Right.
Or if I'm driving around a long journey, I'll throw it in the back of the car and plug it in and charge it up while it's driving around. There's a cable that comes with it for that as well.
You have that option for the Foxtian as well. Yes. They have different inputs. It just comes with the mains charging point, but you can run it on solar or charge it on 12 volt.
So look, we're getting close to the end of our final episode of the year 2023, Aaron. It's been a busy one. Certainly an interesting one as well. The weather hasn't been great this year, but you know, I suppose let's look to the future. What have you, any major plans for next year? Are you looking to change the van or go abroad or do anything
No, I recently changed the car, so the van is not an option this year. Plus, when we came home from France last year, we spent quite a lot of money with the aircon and upgrading it and tyres. I want to do a bit more wild camping for Charlie and me, but that will be in the VW, in the T3. I definitely want to pull up into car parks or the Cumbres or mountains similar. I want to do a bit more of that, but that's purely as video content. Yes, we're hoping to hit France for 2024, and we were only talking about it today because now is the time to start looking at. We have to book a dog friendly cabin. Yeah. So yes, we hope to hit France. Regards Charlie and me, we hope to hit the Isle of Man for a week. There are four or five campsites there. But personally, myself, Deirdre, and Charlie, as much camping as we can. Yes, we're hoping to hit France, and then a bit of wild camping in the T3. What about yourselves?
I suppose. No major plans set out. Don't think I'll change the van. It's going well. I suppose one big thing I'd like to do is embrace the technical side of it a bit more. Try and do as many of repairs as I can myself, mm-hmm. where possible, rather than
sending it off to an engineer.
Expensive. Yeah. Just the little jobs and things like that. Like I recently replaced the fan myself in the camper van, with the help of Tony from the camper crew. And also there's a little resistor pack that goes in with that. So I was able to source and buy and replace that myself as well. So it's well chuffed myself. So I made a mission to go and do that now as well. So one of the lads was showing me dealing with earthing. There's an earthing issue. I just need to get sorted in the van. So that's kind of thing. And as our kids are kind of getting older, they're probably camping with us less and less. So I think we'll probably get out a little bit more with just the two of us and the dogs, maybe, and the kids as well. So I'm interested in trying out some new campsites as well, you know.
Mm-hmm. What I will say to people while we're, before we close up, don't forget during the holiday season, during the winter season, run your vans. None of this just starting it up and revving it for a few minutes. If possible, take it for a spin around the block just to free up the brakes. And also when you park it back up, especially if you're on the flat, don't put on the handbrake. Park it in gear. And if you have to put a couple of chocks or blocks of wood against it, just in case you're on a bit of a hill, do that. Leave it in a forward or reverse gear. But try not put on your handbrake, because if you aren't driving it over the festive season, your brakes may seize come February, March. But don't just start it and rev it. Bring it for a spin around the block every couple of weeks if you can. Even if you're like me in dry storage, I have full intentions now tomorrow taking the T3 for a spin and taking the Heimer for a spin as well.
We have 9 more episodes, Aaron, to episode 200. Wow. So, you know, depends on how active the year is. We'll go monthly, I think, kind of into February. We'll probably take January off and start again early February, I think. What do you reckon? And, you know, as the season kicks off, we might come back to every 2 weeks as well. We'll play it by ear and see how things are going. But, you know, I'm thinking we did a live episode for our 100 episode and it was really, really good. I really enjoyed it, getting all the listeners on board with questions, and it was a nice chit chat, something like what we did in Tree Grove as well. We might maybe do something like that again for 200. What do you think?
I'm wondering, for episode 200, should we make it an actual meetup? And we've never done a live podcast.
Yeah. We made great plans to do one at one of the Van Tassels, where we get people together and have a question and answers.
We had even booked a stage, and then the pandemic hit.
Sounds like an interesting idea. You might actually do it in person somewhere.
Maybe. I think if we can get together, and we in the meantime will look at the technical way of, because we've never done a live podcast. The way this works, folks, is that we record this between 6 and 7. I edit it and then we put it up live at 8 o'clock. So, yeah. Hey, if you guys would like to do something for our 200th episode, bearing in mind this is 191, we'd love to find out what you would like to do. Do you think it's a great idea meeting up somewhere, going live, plonking a few microphones and letting it run for as long as it takes, up to an hour or whatever, or maybe going live to the extent that we record it somewhere at a meetup and I edit it and we throw it up more or less immediately.
Yeah.
So, okay, we would love to hear your input on that. Is it something that you want to do? We'll give the contact details in a couple of minutes. That is episode 191, and it's the final episode for 2023, and here is where I'll just put in some jingle bell music, because it is that time of the year. Thank you to everybody who got in touch throughout the year, because without your input, we really, really do need your input to stop us rehashing things. So if you have anything, any messages, ideas, campsite suggestions, reviews, product reviews, any news items, please do let us know. And Chris has all of the contact details you need to get in touch with us.
Yeah, and just before I give those out, I just want to wish everyone a big happy Christmas. And even more importantly, wish Aaron a happy birthday for Christmas Day, which I'm sure nobody's aware of. He doesn't talk about that online at any stage to let people know his birthdays and Christmas.
I try and keep my private life to myself, Chris. Yeah. But yes, this Christmas Day, I'm celebrating the big 5-9. So thank you for that. Right, camping crew details of contact.
Our webpage is thecampingcrew.ie. On email, we're thecampingcrewpodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter or X, we're @thecampingcrew. Instagram, we're @thecampingcrewpodcast. In Facebook, you'll find us posting in all the good motorhome and camping groups. We'd love, as we say every week, every time we release an episode, we'd love you to get an audio message. We want to hear your voice on the podcast as much as possible in 2024. So be brave, record a message. Aaron will make you sound lovely, warm and fuzzy. Tell us about your favourite campsite, your favourite product, or ask us a question. Send an audio message in. It'd be great to have it more interactive.
And don't forget, we have our campsitereview.com, our sister website. There's a forum there. It's free and it always will be. Drop in there, take a read, join if you wish. And you can again suggest campsite reviews, product reviews. And youtube.com/Charlie and me, our camping vlog, for all of the YouTube videos. We've got one coming up this Friday, and then we'll throw up a Christmas greeting over the festive season. And that will be it until 2024. From me, Aaron Birchall, stay safe over the festive season. Have a good one. And we will talk to you, please God, in 2024.
And goodbye from me, Chris. We hope that you like a podcast. If you are, please subscribe and tell your camper friends all about us.
Well, that's it for another podcast from The Camping Crew. Thanks for listening, and do join us again very soon. Safe camping.